Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching. Episode 311 today, and the title, Why Was Jesus Silent? Why did he keep his counsel? I'm recording this on Thursday the 7th of April 2022, in the run-up to Easter. And in the Watford Church of Christ, we're preaching through the final chapters of the Gospel of Mark in the run-up to, well, not just Easter, in fact, but if you like, the empty tomb, the resurrection. The resurrection is coming. We're on the road to the resurrection. And of course, the road to the resurrection goes via the cross. And as we've been looking at chapters 14 and 15 of the Gospel of Mark, something struck me this year, more than it's ever struck me before. And that's the way in which Jesus is so restrained. He's so silent. Yes, he speaks a few words here and there, of course, confirms this and that, and responds momentarily and briefly, but by and large, and especially when it comes to the accusations against him, those who mock him, he's silent. Why is this? And perhaps more importantly, at least for me on a spiritual level of how I live my life, what enabled him to be silent when that was the right response? He is silent before the high priests. He's silent before Pilate, to the point where in Mark 15, when Jesus made no reply in verse 5, it says that Pilate was amazed. He was amazed. The reason he's amazed, could be several reasons, but one is that in a Roman court of law, if a defendant was accused and they did not reply, it was taken as an admission of guilt. Roman law presumed the guilt of those who refused to defend themselves. And of course, Pilate knows that he's innocent. So why wouldn't Jesus defend himself? He's silent when the soldiers mock him, and even when they visit violence upon him, spitting on him and beating him. And he's on the cross for 6 hours before he dies, and almost all of that time he is silent, despite the fact that there are many still shouting at him, mocking him, "Why don't you come down from the cross? You said you'd destroy the temple." Why doesn't he answer? I'm so impressed with his calmness, his dignified demeanor, his courage. That's so much in contrast with the religious leaders. Well, even frankly, also his friend Peter, who is not exactly silent in his dismissal of his relationship with Jesus, is he? But he's restrained. He is silent when he was the one person who's ever lived who could justify defending himself. In Matthew chapter 26, and verse 52 to 54, we see him say this after the attack by Peter on the servant of the high priest. He says, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" Why is Jesus silent? The reason he's silent is because he knows that this is all to fulfill the scriptures. This was what he was called to. This is why he came. This is all happening for a reason. And Jesus is part of that. And that's why he is so restrained and so silent. But what motivated him? What gave him the strength? He could have called on these angels, the 12 legions. That's literally 72,000 1,000. That's a lot of angels in anyone's money. And of course, one angel's pretty scary. Just ask some of the people in the Old Testament. 12 legions, 72,000, probably not intended to be a literal number, but it's just saying I've got unlimited resources to deal with this. The 12 legions, I suppose, are symbolizing the 12 tribes. The point is innumerable numbers. I have more than enough to deal with this and get myself out of it. But he doesn't do it. He knows it's to fulfill the scriptures, but ultimately, the motivation has to be, or rather, perhaps even better, the strength he needs, has to be something that he's gained from his relationship with his father. Isn't that, in so many ways, what Gethsemane is all about? And that incident in Matthew 26, where he talks about the angels, is right after he's had that all-night time of prayer, asking for the cup to be taken away, and yet surrendering himself to the will of the Father. He has become serenely surrendered, settled in his heart about what must happen, and that God, his father will strengthen him to give him what he needs to handle this, such that he doesn't need to defend himself. I'm reminded of the song 10,000 Angels, a song we used to sing where I am back in the day quite regularly as a communion song. It's one of those that moved me every time we sang it, and I haven't sung it, and the congregation I'm with, we haven't maybe ever sung it. It's an oldie, but the words are still powerful and meaningful. And so I'd like to end this Quiet Time Coaching episode simply by reading through the lyrics of three of the verses and the choruses. And perhaps you'd like to use the words of this hymn as an inspiration for your own time of prayer. I'll put the lyrics in the show notes, and you can find extended lyrics with extra verses out online. And here we are, 10,000 angels. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Saviour, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Upon his precious head they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the king!" They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. To the howling mob he yielded. He did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, "It's finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Jesus had enough strength for what God called him to, because he trusted the Father. And that same strength is available to me today. And that same strength is available to you today. For whatever you've been called to, we can trust the Father like Jesus. He trusted him to go to the cross, and God vindicated him by raising him from the dead. And he will do the same for you and me as we trust him when we go through our trials. Until the next time, take care and God bless.